Chapter 11, The Chase. As the security car inched closer to the three fugitives, Chris shook his head in defeat.
Great, he scoffed.
What do we do now?
Go into evasive action, Robert ordered, as if he were a determined star commander on a spacecraft. But there was no response from his crew.
Care to explain that? Chris asked.
Robert thought about all the times he rode his bike through the piles of leaves in his street.
Just follow my lead, Robert said,
and intentionally began ramming into nearby garbage cans.
What are you doing, Rob?
Rinnie, still seated behind him, asked.
Don't forget, I'm on here too.
Just watch, Robert answered with confidence, as the full garbage cans tumbled behind them and dumped their dirty contents onto the guard car's hood. The driver pumped his brakes as banana peels, ripped trash bags, and other assorted debris splashed across his windshield, obscuring his view.
Genius,
Chris enthused, as he followed suit by plowing into every garbage can in sight.
Yeah,
Rinnie noted dryly.
We're lucky it was a garbage day.
Robert simply smiled, grateful that his plan worked. But their excitement was short-lived. Turning his head around once more, Robert saw that the garbage distraction was only a temporary setback, as the guard's car quickly gained speed and closed the distance between them. It seemed Chris noticed, too.
What now, O fearless leader?
He asked sarcastically. As much as the insult stung, Robert had to admit his friend had a point. After all, the guards were in a car, and he and his gang were on dirt bikes. They couldn't simply outrace them. Then again, they had two vehicles, and the guards only had one. That's when he got another brainstorm.
Split up, he shouted over the hum of the engines. Take a left at this upcoming fork.
Chris simply nodded, hoping the guards would choose to chase him.
He felt it was the honorable thing to do.
Not only by protecting his club and its leader, but also the ever-important turbocharger his leader was carrying. Chris obeyed Robert, swerving his dirt bike to the left at the street's intersection.
Come on, you punks, he called to the guards behind him.
But they didn't take the bait. Racing past the fork in the road, the car continued its pursuit of Robert and Rinnie, leaving Chris behind as an afterthought. Chris cursed the air as a cloud of dust erupted from the passing car. Donning his detective hat again, Chris figured the guards decided to chase Robert because
there were two kids on his bike for the price of one.
Or maybe they knew he had the turbocharger. But either way, they were long gone. Silently, Chris wished his friends luck and knew they would rendezvous later at a future club meeting.
They're still coming,
Rinnie warned Robert, tapping him from behind on his shoulder.
I know, Rinnie, he said. There's only one thing left to do. We need to use the turbocharger. I brought a screwdriver just in case of an emergency, and this sure looks like one. Where is it?
Rinnie asked, still having to yell over the whine of the engines from both their bike and the guard's car.
It's in the secret compartment behind you, Robert called.
Rinnie frantically looked behind him, but only saw the rear tire.
I don't see it,
he shouted. Robert then realized there was less seat space with Rinnie sitting behind him.
You're sitting on it, he told Rinnie.
You're going to have to get up to open it.
What?
Rinnie asked in frustration. Suddenly, they heard a bullhorn blaring from the guard car directly behind them.
Pull back over, boys.
Robert turned around to see one of the guards was leaning out the passenger side window and screaming into a bullhorn.
Just do it, Rinnie,
Robert ordered.
There isn't time. Why does this stuff always happen to me?
Rinnie wondered in vain. Psyching himself up, he took two deep breaths and clenched his legs tighter around the bike's frame. Then he placed one hand on top of Robert's shoulder and slowly lifted himself off the seat and twisted his body to see the small compartment door he had been sitting on. Using his free hand, Rinnie began to open the compartment door when the bike hit a pothole in the road, jerking the vehicle upward and making Rinnie lose his balance, almost falling off the bike. He tightened his grip on Robert's shoulder.
Thanks for the massage, Robert joked. I thought you didn't think of me that way.
Ha, ha, Rinnie sarcastically spat.
I'm glad you're having
Once
so much fun while I almost died back
leverage.
Here. Did you get the screwdriver yet? I'm working on it.
Once more while holding onto Robert's shoulder for leverage,
Rinnie gingerly lifted himself up and then opened the small compartment door directly beneath him. Next to a thick corded rope that was tied off to a metal flange, the orange screwdriver rattled noisily around inside the hub.
I got it!
Rinnie cheered and grabbed the tool with gusto. He held it aloft toward Robert's eyes as proof, as if he were He-Man triumphantly raising his power sword to the electrified sky.
Great, Robert replied impatiently, as his bike made another hairpin turn around the corner.
Now use it.
Rennie stared dopily at the suburban scenery whipping past his head.
For what?
To install the turbocharger, dingus,
Robert, at his wit's end, answered.
Oh, yeah, Rennie replied. Robert could almost imagine the light bulb flashing over his head, like some comic strip panel.
Rennie carefully removed the charger from Robert's backpack
and
snapped it into place next to the engine.
But because it wasn't screwed in yet,
it wobbled violently side to side.
Don't damage it, dude, Robert cautioned. My brother made it.
Don't worry, man,
Rennie responded. Then,
whoops, whoops, what?
Robert asked in astonishment.
Just kidding,
his friend admitted.
Robert simply shook his head and replied with his favorite tongue twister. Cut the comedy, comedian, and quit clowning.
Who's joking now?
Rennie criticized, as he began fiddling with the two wires attached to the front of the charger.
What do I do with these wires?
Isn't it obvious?
Robert asked.
Red wire to red plug, blue wire to blue plug. Or are you colorblind, too?
Sorry, I'm not as technical-minded as you are, Chris,
Rennie stated.
How did you put your bike together, then?
Robert asked.
My dad did most of the work,
Rennie confessed.
Okay, all of it.
Now you tell me,
Robert said, as Rennie plugged the wires in.
Okay, they're in, but nothing's happening. The charger needs to be stable to work,
Robert explained. Then he dug four screws, each inserted into a washer from his pants pocket. Like the Boy Scout he used to be, he always came prepared.
Here, he said, offering Rennie one of those screw washer combos. Screw this into the base of the charger. Let me know when you're done, and I'll hand you the next one.
Rennie did as he was told, in a surprisingly fluid process. For once, the Wild Boar's comic sidekick wasn't a laughingstock. Robert figured it finally dawned on Rennie how dire their situation was. Just then, Robert made another turn into a darkened alley, only to realize, after looking ahead in the distance, that it was a dead end. The sole contents were piles of broken crates leaning against a brick wall.
Despite the chill autumnal air
blowing past his brown locks, Robert's forehead broke into a panicked sweat.
You better hurry up, he warned Rennie. We're running out of time and space.
He pointed to the brick wall quickly advancing toward their vehicle. Rennie looked up and almost passed out.
All right,
he shouted above the rushing wind and roar of the engine.
One more to go.
After snapping the last screw in and hastily tightening it with the screwdriver, he triumphantly announced,
I did it!
Yes,
Robert cheered, waiting for the inevitable burst of speed, which didn't come. Meanwhile, the wall at the end of the alleyway was rapidly approaching.
What happened?
He asked Rennie.
I don't know,
Rennie answered.
Maybe it's broke.
Well, did you turn it on?
Robert asked.
You didn't tell me I had to turn it on,
Rennie protested. If he could, Robert would have turned around to strangle his friend.
Where is it?
It's on the bottom. A small round button.
I can't see it,
Rennie shouted, terror rising in his voice.
Feel for it,
Robert instructed. Rennie did so, but in the process, accidentally dropped the screwdriver.
I dropped your screwdriver,
he admitted, abashed.
Don't worry about it,
Robert reassured him.
That's not important now. Just push the button.
Obeying his group's leader, Rennie finally found the button, and his forefinger firmly pressed down on it.
I did it,
Rennie cheered, for what seemed like the umpteenth time. Grinning from ear to ear, Robert wrapped his fingers tightly around his bike's handlebars and braced for the thrust of the turbo boost. But his smile withered as the engine sputtered. Nothing was happening. Robert reasoned to himself that the turbocharger must have been sitting on Dr. Howard's dusty shelf for too long and was most likely out of commission. Robert gazed at the upcoming dead end with a sense of doom. It was now only several dozen feet away from them. This was it. The wall. The guard's car. The failed engine. It was all a recipe for disaster. Robert's bottom lip quivered as he felt Rennie's hand slip from his torso. Above the roar of the engine, Robert could hear Rennie openly weeping. Always a coward, Robert thought, until the end.
Start, darn you, start!
Robert yelled. In desperate frustration, he swiftly kicked the engine behind him with his right foot.
Vroom!
Just as their bike was about to slam into the brick wall,
The turbocharger roared to life and sent a surge of electrified energy into the tiny engine. The bike popped a wheelie as Rennie lost his grip and fell off. As the bike ramped up speed, Robert turned his head to see Rennie holding onto the secret compartment's rope for dear life. "Hold on!" Robert excitedly, and perhaps unnecessarily, ordered as he gripped the handlebars even more strongly. The engine hummed like a turbojet. As Robert aimed for a broken crate shaped like a ramp, the bike blasted across the ramp and popped over the wall, with the hapless Rennie dangling dangerously behind and screaming his head off. It was safe to say no roller coaster he had been on could compete with this trip. As the tires noisily scraped the top of the wall, leaving a flaming crisscross mark imprinted on the red bricks like the time-traveling DeLorean in Back to the Future, a shower of sparks blasted from the bike's tailpipe and blanketed the guard car's windshield in an impromptu fireworks display, blinding their line of sight. Shouting in dismay, the driver jerked the steering wheel to the left and slammed the brakes as the car violently screeched to a halt, just missing the brick wall by a few feet. At least now, Robert knew the turbocharger worked.